Hey there, friends. This is Bill McGeaney with Round Guys Brewing Company, presenting you another episode of the Original Slacker Podcast. Round Guys Brewing Company, just for a reminder to you, is located up in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. This episode, I have Katie and Brendan Curley of the Brooklyn-based Bourbon Express Band. They'll be here on May 27th at the Underground, presented by Round Guys, along with singer-songwriter, solo artist Ryan Zimmerman. This is going to be a great night. In this episode, I'm actually going to be chatting with them about the art of the album. They recently finished up a really, really good, well-produced album. In addition, the second piece, we'll be chatting with them more on a phenomenal music video they did for their one song, Devil's Angel. And we'll have some questions and fun stuff on both episodes. So definitely check it out. The second episode will have the song addendum to it. And without further ado, let's get into our conversation. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Original Slacker. Today I have Brendan and Katie Curley from Bourbon Express. How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're great. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Tell me a little bit about Bourbon Express. What is Bourbon Express?
Well, we're a honky-tonk band in Brooklyn, New York. We're just three at the moment, core members. Myself, Brendan, and our friend Sarah Kinsey, who sings harmony. And we kind of pick up rhythm sections as we go along. We'll kind of hold on to a rhythm section for a while until they have other projects. And I write most of the songs, although Brendan writes a song here and there, and Sarah started writing lately as well. We play country music.
Now, when did you guys start it in 2015, correct?
Well, Katie and I have been playing together since 2011. We did an album in 2015. And, Sarah joined us around that time. So, yeah, as Katie was alluding to, we've had quite a few lineup changes over the years. And, I guess we've been playing under the Bourbon Express name since maybe 2014 or 15.
Okay. Regarding any of your past experience in the past bands you've been in and whatnot, you guys sunk a lot of thought and a lot of time and expense into putting together really well-produced, well-formulated albums. What was your basis behind that? What decided to drive you into making these albums a little more special, I guess, than any of your past projects you might have done on solo or together?
Well, I think we've sort of been building up to this one. We put a lot of time, energy, and money into this one, working with the producer, doing the whole thing in the studio, you know, getting good session musicians and so forth. I think the one we did previously was a little bit more of not as big of a production. So maybe that with that one, we were kind of testing things out, seeing, you know, trying to prove to ourselves that we could do it maybe a little bit with that one, and then gaining confidence to where we felt a little better kind of, you know, working with a producer and putting a little bit more into this one, I would say.
Yeah, I think our last album we recorded in our bass player that we were playing with at the time, he generously offered to record it in his apartment studio, and we learned a lot from that experience of sounds that we liked that we got out of it and things we'd want to do differently. And also, I feel like kind of honed our live sound. and then when we met, when I met with Roscoe or Eric Amble for this current project, he made it really clear that he didn't want to change our sound. He just wanted to, you know, he wanted to present the band in a very real way.
That brings me to two more questions there. First, like, how did that really affect your live sound? What happened there? What was the transition that went on?
Well, for one thing, we definitely honed our harmonies. For One Big Losing Speaks, the previous album, it shaped our harmony sound. That was the biggest thing for me. I don't know about you. Well, I guess it, you really worked on your guitar parts for that too, and how you were going to trade it with other instruments. And
you just basically recorded it live on the floor too, so in that sense it is our live show, really. But the core band just played live right on the floor in the studio, so I think it really does kind of capture.
And okay. then after a couple more years of playing live shows, we were ready for this album, this current album, Cry About It Later, to just go into the studio and lay the tracks down live.
Oh, wow. Great. So Cry About It Later, you brought in Roscoe. Now, Roscoe, and you have a professional producer. You bring in additional professional musicians to kind of fill out any missing voids and whatnot. How did that affect the way you guys look at your music going forward, I guess? I know it's kind of open-ended.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, I feel like sonically it did show kind of what's possible when you have all the tools in your toolkit, and maybe Brendan can talk about how, I feel like it affected him a lot more than me in terms of the guitar sounds that were available for him.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't really sure what to expect because we hadn't, you know, worked with the producer before. But yeah, I guess just his experience, he's been doing this, making great records for so long. I think it was just comforting to be in the hands of somebody who is so professional and knows what he's doing. And yeah, I kind of relied on him to dial in a lot of the sounds in the studio. You know, I knew my parts and everything, and I would just plug in and kind of let him do some knob fiddling, and knew that the sound that we were going to get was something that we could rely on.
Was there any nervousness or trepidation on your guys' part with having someone in there who can might be able to transform your sound?
I was a little nervous the first song we did. I don't know if he sensed that, or if anybody else was, but I think I remember we did the first song. I think it was Devil's Angel. We cut that. We did like three takes of that, and he was like, "Okay, I think we got it. Let's go to lunch." And you know, then we kind of bonded over lunch a little bit, and I felt relaxed after that. And from then on, I felt fine. We'd also met with him a number of times before then. He came to some of our rehearsals and came to one of our live shows too. I think he wanted to, you know, make sure that we could play well before he had us into the studio. But yeah, other than those early butterflies for me, I felt really comfortable around him. And
I think we all probably felt nervous going in, and he put us at ease pretty quickly. And he insisted that we two songs that we laid down, which were Devil's Angel and Dilly Dally, get the songs completely cut that first day so that we could all listen back and kind of hear in what direction we were going. And I think that kind of made everyone feel at ease.
So how did you guys meet Eric Roscoe?
Well, you know, we were aware of him. He's kind of, you know, he's worked with so many bands in this area. So we kind of identified him as somebody that we would be interested in working with. So when we were getting ready to do our next album, Katie reached out, and I don't know, do you want to talk about?
Yeah, it was kind of a funny meeting. His whole approach is like really, I would say like organic. Before, you know, we agreed to do anything together, he really wanted to meet with me in person and talk things through. And Brendan and I had just happened to come home from a little tour, and I had almost completely lost my voice. And Roscoe had also just come back from a tour, and he had a really bad cold, and it was affecting his hearing. So it was a challenging meeting, because I could barely talk and he could barely hear. But that said, I just knew right away. He was super friendly, and the whole vibe was just really relaxed. I think we just got along right away. And
you mentioned he came out to your live show, so he actually was trying to gauge pretty much what's going to go on the album, right? I mean,
exactly.
the sound you guys want on the album, not necessarily a... Sometimes you see bands go into a studio and they'll put together tracks, but the tracks don't necessarily reflect anything of their live show. And this
right.
is the opposite,
yeah.
right?
He didn't want to really manipulate anything, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I think that's kind of his signature sound anyway, just a very basic meat and potatoes, rock and roll and country kind of thing. I don't think he's really into, you know, wall of sound or lots and lots of overdubs and slaving over tracks. I think with most bands he works with, he likes to just get it as raw and as close to the live thing as possible.
But that said, he made a lot of really great suggestions that we appreciated during the recording process. A couple times he suggested even little arrangement tweaks, and I thought they were great ideas. So,
right, yeah, that's. I mean, it's helpful to have someone in there with that much experience.
Yeah,
he's a great guide, a great leader. That's phenomenal, and you could hear it. Devil's Angel is a really crisp sound in there. It just listening to the actual track, right? That track, you guys made a brilliant video, which I love the video to that song.
Thank you so much.
Very retro. Where did that idea come from?
It started when Brandon and Sarah and I were just coming home from rehearsal one day, or we were leaving rehearsal on a train, and it just seemed pretty obvious to all of us that would be the song for which we wanted to make a video, and also that it would lend itself to doing some kind of like really literal representation. And that we were all really into the idea of like playing multiple characters. And then once Phil Cherniak, the director, got on board, he and I met, and he just has a really wild, goofy sense of humor. So he and I bounced ideas off of one another, and if anything, I had to kind of rein him in a little bit, because he would really, you know, kind of go off the deep end with it. But I felt like with the two of us together, like I was leaning more toward the subtle humor, and he was leaning, you know, a little more far out there. And when we came together, I feel like it worked really well.
Yeah, you guys weren't far away from jumping into the Devo line. that was cool though. I like the retro feel it had. It had a really cool.
While we were preparing for it, I kept emailing him links of like music videos from the 80s and 90s of like Vince Gill and Randy Travis and Rosie Flores, and he loved them all, and so he worked in as many elements, I think, as he could from those.
Yeah, that was a really fun video. Do you guys do you have anything else planned out there for releases on this album for Cry About Later?
Like in terms of a video?
Yeah. Anything fun? Is that it?
We've talked about it. All we know is that if we do another video, we would want to kind of have the opposite approach.
Yeah.
Since we kind of went really crazy on that one and involved a lot of people, and there were multiple locations and everything. We'd like to do one where it's just the band playing in a space. So it's something really minimalistic.
The next one. All right. So Honky Tonk. Tell me a little bit about Honky Tonk.
It's fun.
What drew you guys to this sound? What was the thing when you guys were formative musicians or even just kids, when you're listening to music and you're like, man, I just love it? What is it? Is it that just the actual raw fun, like you mentioned, it's just a fun sound. There's nothing, it's not a serious sound, you know?
It's so, I don't know, it's so elemental, but it just to us sounds so good and is so fun to play. And I don't know, I think we've both played different kinds of music. I think we just found our voices individually in the country area. Just, I don't know. That's what comes out when we play or sing. And
was there a moment in you guys' lives when you guys were maybe in college, or when you were, you know, after college, or somewhere in that ballpark, in that range, even if you didn't go college, in that, when you're 20s, like in your early 20s, that you found the similar sound of music? Or I'm just curious about how you guys were actually pulled into its orbit as much.
For me, that's definitely the case. My parents listened to a lot of that music when I was growing up, and I really liked it, but it definitely was not like the popular thing, the popular genre among my peers.
No.
And so it wasn't until I was in my, I guess, early 20s that I started kind of coming back to it slowly. And I was writing a lot of folk music at the time, and country songs would just kind of find, like, in every batch of songs I would make, there would a country song would always find its way in. And then, I don't know, probably toward my late 20s, it just kind of dawned on me one day that was what I really liked. And for songwriting, I just love how sort of stripped down it is. And I was just drawn to it.
That's interesting. We get a lot of songwriters on here, obviously, different types. You know, people who do Americana like you guys. We have an individual who actually does show tunes, and we've had a whole bunch of different musicians I've chatted with. What is the difference in songwriting with Honky Tonk and some of these other styles?
It's a good question. I mean, I guess one obvious difference is that, and this isn't necessarily one that I love, but it, you know, it has some kind of tropes that you tend to gravitate toward, like drinking or, you know, real overkill heartbreak.
You have an album named One Big Losing Streak.
Yeah.
Well, is it also a directness in the lyrics too?
Yeah, but I guess that's what I meant about it being stripped down is you just kind of, there's nothing flowery about it, if I can put it that way. So I think that's probably what I like in writing generally. So lyrically, that's what I like about the old style country song.
Okay, great. Well, hey guys, I really appreciate you guys taking some time on Sunday morning. I know it's early. It's early for everyone. and just chatting. So,
We appreciate you having us on. It's been fun.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is let you guys plug yourselves. So where can people find you guys?
They can find us at bourbonexpress.com. Our new album, Cry About It Later, it's available on vinyl, on CD, and of course digitally, and you can find that all on our website. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, and we are going to be in Lansdale on May 27th at the Underground
with Ryan Zimmerman.
Looking forward to that.
Hey everyone, that does it for the first half of our interview with Katie and Brendan Curley. As you can tell, their sound's a little different. You don't really come across Honky Tonk that much, especially outside, say, you know, like Tennessee. For a Brooklyn-based band, they have a really cool vibe. You know, it's just, it's a fun vibe. It's nothing that takes itself too seriously. Come out, support the band, and check out the next episode where we'll have some more fun stuff, including song Devil's Angel by them. Thanks again, everyone, and see you soon.